Hello everyone, I'm Pete. Here's a really well-known story. Noah's Ark and the worldwide flood. I was just wondering, is there anyone here who's never heard it before? That's what I thought. It's a popular story. I think most kids are taught it either in Bible in schools or Sunday school. It's a visually striking story. You've got the pairs of the animals going up into the wooden boat with the pretty rainbow in the background. But this is not a children's story. There's a famous French artist called Gustave Dior, and I think he captures the mood of this story really well. Just use your imagination for a minute. Picture a huge expanse of water with a single rock protruding above the waves just a few metres. And on the rock are three terrified children. And slipping into the water are a mother and a father desperately pushing up a fourth baby to safety. And sitting next to the children on the rock is a huge tiger. There are bodies floating in the water and tired vultures circle overhead. This is a terrifying story of when God's patience runs out and he unleashes his judgment with unthinkable destruction. Maybe there's things in this story that we've missed previously, so do keep your Bibles open. We'll work our way through together and then have a think about it. Well, we know from last week that the world had become full of violence, corrupt, wicked. Every inclination of man's heart was only evil all the time. But this man, Noah, he stands out above the rest. In verse 9 of chapter 6, we learn that Noah was a righteous man, blameless among his people of his time. Now, this doesn't mean that Noah never sinned, but he did find favour with God. Why did he find favour with God? Because, verse 9, he walked with God. Noah agreed with God about the evil of his own heart. He turned from it. He turned from his sin. He trusted God for grace, and he's called righteous. That's who Noah was, not without sin, but one who had repented and lived as God commanded him to live. A repeated phrase in this passage is, Noah did everything just as God commanded him. So Noah stands out above the wickedness, and God notices it. That's another repeated theme in this passage. God sees. The Lord saw in the eyes of the Lord. Verse 11, now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become. See, God's not blind to it. God sees it all. And he sees the wicked things happening in the world today as well. He sees the violent wars around the world. He sees the corrupt leaders. He sees the abuse in families. He sees the pornography being used. He sees every inclination of our hearts and minds. God is not blind to it. He sees it all. Here he sees it all. He created it, and now he's going to end it. God has a plan, and he shares it with Noah in verse 13. So God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is full of violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark. God's going to destroy and protect. That's his plan. Then Noah receives from God some divine building plans to build an ark. Wouldn't that be great, receiving plans from God? A big wooden ark, coated in pitch inside and out, a roof over top with an opening all around it, a door on the side, and then it's fitted out with lower, middle, and upper decks. How big is the ark? We're given some measurements in cubits, old-fashioned measurements. A cubit is about 450 mil, about distance from your elbow to the top of your finger. It's one cubit. So in metric measurements, what do you got? You got 135 metres long, 23 metres wide, and 14 metres high. This ark is a whopper. It's a triple whopper, right? Huge. There's been a replica ark created in Kentucky, USA. We've got a photo up here, I think. There she blows. You see, it's missing the pitch on the outside of the on the hull, but it gives you a bit of an idea. See the little people down there? It's huge. More than enough space to put all the animals and the food, which is the next instructions for Noah. By the way, that cost Kentucky $100 million to build. Scholars actually believe that it took Noah 100 years to build his ark. Let's carry on. God says to Noah in chapter 7, verse 1, chapter 7, verse 2, he says to bring, or even before that, verse 20, two of every kind of birds, two of every animal, and every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. You are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away as food for you and for them. Then a few verses later, chapter 7, verse 2, God says to bring seven pairs of clean animals and just the one pair of the unclean animals. That's for the future sacrifices, because we learn in Leviticus that the sacrifices are just for the clean animals. God then says to Noah in chapter 7, verse 1, go into the ark. And then in verse 4, God says, 7 days from now I'm going to bring the rain. So Noah did this, and his family and all the animals were in the ark for 7 days. 7 days they were waiting before a drop of rain fell. Can you imagine waiting that long? It's a whole week for the water to come. But the water most certainly comes, and lots of it. What comes next describes an aquatic annihilation. Chapter 7, verse 11. All the springs of the deep burst open, floodgates of the heavens opened, and the rain fell for 40 straight days and nights. You might remember in the second day of creation, in chapter 1, God said, let there be an expanse between the waters to separate water from water. He called that expanse sky, and that separated the water under the expanse from the water above it. So these waters formed a huge blanket of water in the upper part of the Earth's atmosphere since creation, and now it's let loose. Powerful water from above, torrential water from below. Not just for a day or two, but for 40 days and 40 nights. There's no escaping this. No one can escape these terrifying torrents of God's judgment. No one can escape the thundering storm of God's wrath poured out on this wicked world. Men, women, children, babies, tigers, horses and eagles, all are completely overwhelmed and wiped out. Everything. Verse 21, every living thing that moved on land perished. Birds, livestock, wild animals, all the creatures that swarm over the earth, and all mankind. Everything on dry land that had the breath of life in its nostrils died. Every living thing on the face of the earth was wiped out. People and animals and the creatures that move along the ground and the birds were wiped from the earth. Only Noah was left and those with him on the ark. Nothing and no one escapes this terrifying flood sent by God, whose patience had finally run out. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine being in this deluge? Maybe next time you're at the mall or walking your dog at the park, just try to picture yourself with this torrent. The panic, the screaming, as people become overwhelmed by this terrifying and powerful flood sent by God. Then we might ask, why? Why, God, would you do such an awful thing? Well, because sin is serious. Sin is rejecting the holy Creator God. Sin is doing evil in His sight. So God is right in His verdict and justified when He judges. For the people who reject their Creator, death is the consequence. Rejecting our Creator has fatal consequences. But, chapter 8, verse 1. But God remembered Noah and the wild animals and the livestock that were with him in the ark. And he sent a wave, sent a wind over the earth, and the waters receded. Isn't that a beautiful verse? God remembered Noah. God didn't forget about his righteous one. The one who walked with him in his ways. God remembered him, and God sent a wind over the earth, and the waters receded. After 150 days, the ark settles on the mountains of Ararat, which is modern-day Turkey. After 40 days, Noah sends out the raven and then the dove to see if the land was habitable again, which it is, and so it's good to disembark. Noah entered the ark on the 17th day of the second month of the 600th year of his life. He's 600 years when he entered the ark. Now we're told, on the second month of his 601st day, first year, Noah left the ark. That means he was in the ark pretty much a full calendar year. Noah gets out of the ark and then he does something very honourable. Verse 20, he builds an altar to the Lord and sacrifices clean animals on it. Noah's first act after leaving the ark is to worship God through sacrifice. And this pleases God. The Lord smelled this pleasing aroma and said in his heart, "Never again will I curse the ground because of humans. Even though every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood, and never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done." God promised here to never again destroy all living creatures by a flood on this scale. And God did it even though he understood that the inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood. This was a promise full of mercy. God then in chapter 9, he now blesses Noah and his sons. He says, "Be fruitful and multiply, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth." That sounds a lot like chapter 1 again, doesn't it? When God blessed Adam, "Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it." God blesses Noah in the same way here, but also gives them animal for food in verse 3. Then God also gives man part of the right to take human life and therefore guard society against murder. "Whoever sheds human blood by humans shall their blood be shed. For in the image of God has God made mankind." And then lastly, God makes this covenant. It's a covenant to protect creatures and mankind from himself. "For how can the earth ever be filled if his wrath overflows again, and a flood against the sin of humanity?" To protect us against himself, God makes a covenant in verse 11. "I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be destroyed by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth." And then he seals the covenant with a sign in the sky, the beautiful rainbow, and they are beautiful. Today, although the rainbow has been used to represent other movements like the LGBTQ community, we know from Genesis 9 here that the true meaning of the rainbow represents the covenant between God and the earth. Whenever we see a rainbow today, we know that God is remembering his covenant made right here. And that's the story of Noah and the flood. So then, what does this mean for us today? As Christians, as perhaps as non-Christians, as human beings in the year 2023. This story of the flood that we've just looked at, it's actually mentioned a few times in the New Testament, so it's worth checking those passages out. I'll read the passages out and give them a label as well if you're taking notes. This first one, the first passage you could label, "God's judgment will come again." If we look at Matthew 24, Jesus tells us, "As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Jesus says here that a time is coming which will be like it was in Noah's day. That terrifying event that we've just read through. Jesus says, we have not seen the last of God's judgment. Another time is coming, just like Noah's flood. And people will know nothing about it until it's too late. That's what he says. So are you ready for it? Because many people today are not ready for it. Jesus says people will know nothing about it before it's too late. Think for a moment, who in your life needs to be warned? God once sent the flood to destroy the earth, the unrepentant sinners. Well, when he does it again, he will send his son next time to bring the judgment. And he will certainly come. And it will be terrifying. The Apostle Peter, he also speaks of this coming day of judgment. In 2 Peter chapter 3, above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also, the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and the earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. People will mock and scoff and doubt that this will actually happen. I wonder if that's you. I wonder if you doubt. Don't forget that long ago, by God's word, the earth was destroyed. It happened once before. And by the same word, he will certainly do it again. Because God still hates sin. And he's not blind to the evil and wickedness today. Don't be fooled. God's judgment will come again. Are you ready for it? Are you ready for the judgment? Are your friends ready for it? What about your family? People will mock and say, well, where is he then? You know, I'm going fine my own way. I'm not in any danger. God clearly warned Noah, didn't he, about the coming judgment? And he has clearly warned us of his coming judgment. Well, that brings us to the next passage. Call it respond in faith like Noah. Hebrews 11 says, by faith Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. So when God warned Noah about what was to come, Noah responded rightly with faith, even though he couldn't see it. Even though he couldn't see the rain clouds. Noah, he lived in the hot, dry land of Mesopotamia. That's like Iraqi territory. More at risk of a drought than a flood. And yet he heeds God's warning and builds the ark. He has faith without seeing, and he keeps walking with God. He has faith and a holy fear of God. So Noah is an example for us on how we ought to respond to God's warning. Noah did everything just as God commanded him, even though he couldn't see. I wonder if you can say that about yourself. We have been warned of the coming judgment. How will we respond? Let's take Noah's example. Respond in faith. How did God protect Noah from the coming judgment and perishing? God provided him a floating ship of mercy, didn't he? How does God then protect us from his coming judgment? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. We too have a floating ship of mercy. Get on board. The ark is available today. Get on board with Jesus. Lastly, assurance of salvation. 2 Peter 2 says, if he, talking about God, if he did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on its ungodly people, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and seven others. Into verse 9, if this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and hold the unrighteous for punishment on the day of judgment. See, if God rescued Noah, who was righteous and walked with God, then we too can have assurance that God will rescue the righteous ones today. For the Lord knows how to rescue the godly. Noah's rescue is an example for us today and how God will rescue us. For Noah, amidst the torrents of judgment, God provided Noah a floating ship of mercy. God didn't forget him, did he? Therefore, God knows how to rescue. You see, God is right in judging sin. He is right to punish all the wicked. But in his great mercy, he provides a shelter, a rock, a refuge from his coming judgment, another floating ship of mercy. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only one who can save us from the coming judgment. You remember the image at the start of the people slipping into the water and the tiger. Those people, they didn't make it. They didn't survive. They perished because of their unrepentant sin. But if we heed God's warning to us today that the judgment is coming, if we have faith and believe in Jesus, then we have great assurance that God will rescue us. Do you think Noah and his family were pleased they got on the ark once the flood hit? What a relief to be safe from God's judgment. Praise the Lord for God's judgment, but also for his mercy. Let's pray to finish. Almighty God, after hearing the story of Noah, please help us not to be complacent towards sin. Help us not to be complacent towards the coming day of judgment. There may be some here tonight who are not ready for that day. May they understand that there will be no escaping it. But we thank you, God, for sending your Son Jesus to rescue us. You sent him to us at such a great cost to you. May all put their faith in him. May all of us walk with you from this day on. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.